My colleague won't stop commenting on everything I eat.
My assistant rolls his eyes at people in meetings.
Why does my coworker keep taking credit for all my ideas?
Have any wisdom for me?
Hi, I'm Allison Green. Welcome to the Ask a Manager podcast, where I answer questions from listeners about life at work. Everything from what to say if you're allergic to your coworker's perfume to what to do if you drink too much at the company party. Let's get started. I talk a lot here about the importance of tone at work, being direct without being adversarial, and being assertive without being disagreeable. Getting your tone right can make a huge difference in how you come across when you're talking to coworkers or your manager, or really with anyone in your life. Today's guest is worried that her tone at work is coming across as too confrontational and might be making people feel defensive. Hi, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you sent me a letter saying that you're worried that you're too direct in a way that can come across as maybe aggressive. And your boss even told you that one coworker complained that you're, quote, hostile and mean, and that the two of you, you and your boss, agreed that you're very direct, which sometimes can be good, but sometimes can create conflict. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
And I think you said with this particular coworker, the one who complained, it's making you nervous to talk to him now, that you spend a lot of time planning out what you'll say, and then it still never seems to work out well, and you feel like you're in a cycle where you're being seen as the aggressor, and he's being seen as like the aggrieved party. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. So now that I know that I have this coworker who perceives me as hostile and mean, and I have some examples of when that has happened, every time I need to talk about anything work-related with the person, I tend to spend multiple hours or even days thinking about the conversation we're going to have before we actually have it and worrying about it and sometimes like losing sleep even thinking about it and kind of mulling over like, okay, how could I approach this person? And when you first responded to my letter, you asked me if I thought that it was really about him and not me. And it might partly be about him. It could be that this coworker is like responding in the extreme to this sort of trait that I have anyway. But I feel like my interactions with him are sort of magnifying the problem, which is that I just tend to be really direct. And also, I think there's something about my tone that many people perceive as, I mean, well, bossy comes to mind, but excessively assertive, I guess. So I have started to feel like really worried about this, and it makes me want to just not talk at all.
So I want to say, I do think it's possible that it's him as well, that he's bringing his own weirdness to it, because it sounds like, well, maybe this has come up in other areas. With him, it's really intensified. So I think there's a decent chance that like he's bringing his own weirdness to it, or that, who knows, maybe your interactions were tense enough in the past that now he's always perceiving a bad tone, even if it's not always there. But I wouldn't discount the possibility that he's bringing a lot of his own stuff to these interactions. But I think you also said that you have been consistently told in performance reviews to work on interpersonal communication. Have there been themes from that feedback that you've seen?
Well, I should actually give you sort of a more personal view of that too. So when I was in high school, I was on the debate team, and I had this interaction with my debate coach in high school that has stuck with me the 20 years since then. She told me that I was scary and intimidating, which was really funny to be on the debate team, which is like, you know, this group of people who sort of develop confrontational ways of speaking to each other. And my own mother also often says that I am the person who knows best. So from her perspective, I'm the person who always has the idea and is always going to express an opinion and have a strong view on things. And so I think within my family and just in my personal history, I've always had this sort of disposition. So since I became a librarian, so that was about 9 years ago, I have consistently received small and larger mentions of like needs to improve my interactions, like could be improved. These are often like sort of soft suggestions. Like, it would help you if you could find a way to be less direct, or maybe read the room better, things like that. But then those comments are always couched with, it's really helpful that you are so analytic, that you think through problems. And so it's difficult to balance those two qualities, especially when I don't always realize that I'm being very assertive.
Yeah. You know, I feel like we can't talk about this without talking about the fact that sometimes gender plays a role in this kind of feedback. It's very much a thing that women sometimes get told that they're coming across as too direct or as abrasive, when men with the exact same behavior don't get told that. And that doesn't mean that it's always the case that this feedback is gendered. Sometimes it's not. But I don't think we can talk about this without acknowledging that it's a real thing that women sometimes have to deal with. And I mean, frankly, the problem might not be that women get told it too much. It might be that men don't get told it enough, and that we should be doing a better job of calling men out on behavior. But there is this thing where women are being appropriately assertive and they get told to tone it down. Do you have any sense of whether that could be in play here? Like, have you noticed that you're expected to be more warm and fluffy than men around you are?
So I work in this field where customer service and sort of being open and kind and smiley are kind of expected, like, across the board of people who interact with people in general. And so I tend to think that the feedback I'm getting is also partly related to where we are regionally. So I'm in the Midwest in Wisconsin. And if you know anything about the upper Midwest, you may have heard the phrase Minnesota nice or Wisconsin nice.
Yeah.
That sort of pattern that people notice about this part of the country plays into that. And I'm not from this part of the country originally. On the subject, though, of gender, I do feel like that is a possibility. But I have definitely received this feedback from people who are women and men, and women police each other's tone too. So I don't think that gender isn't an issue just because two women are talking. But I think that sometimes this might go beyond those social forces and maybe is it like a deeper issue about me. But maybe on the other hand, I'm just like making it too much about me. I don't know.
This is one thing that's so frustrating about this kind of thing that can be gendered, and maybe it is and maybe it isn't, is that it's really hard to know for sure, and it can make you second guess yourself. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
My sense from talking to you, and tell me if I'm getting this right, because maybe I'm not, is that you're someone who is very direct, maybe has not a whole lot of patience for BS, and is often the person who will speak up about something that everyone else might be thinking, but no one else is saying. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
So I think I recognize it in you because I have that tendency myself too, a lot of it actually. And I think it's hard when you're a direct person to understand why people don't react well to that. Because, I mean, directness to me, and probably to you, seems like a virtue. I really think it's a virtue. I love directness. And
it feels so efficient.
Right. Okay. So yes, we are as one on this. It feels so efficient. And it's really annoying to feel like you have to sugarcoat a message or dance around a topic rather than just being able to like come out and say it. But it is true that you have to harness it and you have to figure out how to direct it in the right places and at the right time, or otherwise it can alienate some people around you. Some people will love it. I would love it. I would like working with you. But other people will be alienated by it. And I think that it's true also that there can be two different types of people, and I have a very strong suspicion about which one you are. Let me describe both types and then tell me if you think you identify with one of them. So the first category is task-oriented people. So these are people who are really focused on getting work done, and they want to be really efficient about it, and they're going to feel good about an interaction if they can just cut to the chase pretty quickly, get the info they need, get a decision made, and move on. That, to them, is what feels like a positive, useful interaction. The second category are people who are more relationship-oriented. They have a hard time feeling good about a work interaction if they don't like the other person or if they think the other person doesn't like them. So for them, it really matters how the other person says things and the value that it feels like the other person is putting on the relationship. So if they're dealing with a task-oriented person who just comes in and is straight down to business and just wants the work thing that they need, and they're not taking the time to make sure that the conversation feels good, this type of person is going to hate that. So does either of those types sound like you or like your coworkers?
Well, I think that I am more of a task-oriented person, for sure. I think, though, that I also do want to feel good about the interactions that I have with people I'm working with, for sure. But I think you're definitely right that, like, what makes me feel good is probably a lot different than what this problem colleague feels good about, and probably other people too. So yeah, I think I am task oriented.
Let's pause here for a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about what to do about this. So as a task oriented person myself, I think from our vantage point, it can be really hard to wrap your head around how someone could be the other type. Like, if you think someone is valuing the relationship more than the work that needs to get done, it doesn't feel logical. I mean, if there's a task to accomplish, let's just accomplish it. And why do we have to do all of this extra work around tending to the relationship? And I think on our side of the divide, it can feel almost phony to have to do that, or like we're coddling people. Does any of that sound familiar?
I am always sort of looking for authentic experiences, so I avoid phoniness, and I think I value people who are able to be authentic in how they interact and work in other places.
Yeah. So I think it's really tough when you just have a different style, but the thing to remember is if you are dealing with someone who places way more emphasis on the relationship than what seems warranted to you. And again, I'm not saying you don't place emphasis on the relationship. I'm sure relationships are important to you and you care about everyone coming away feeling good. But if you're dealing with someone who's much more on that end of the spectrum, if you come in and you're just focused on what you need, to them, it might feel like you're sending some kind of message. This might be what's happening with your coworker. He might be getting the message from signals you're sending without intending to, that you don't like him, or that you think you're above him and he's not worth investing the time to make the interaction feel good to him. And that might be making those interactions much less pleasant. And maybe it's something that has happened in some of your other interactions too. Does that feel like it could describe what's been happening?
Yes, I think so.
So let's talk then about, like, what are the specific things that you can do if you have this just somewhat different approach that's coming across differently to people than it would come across to you, and differently than you want it to come across. I think some of it really is just about wrapping your head around this idea that the person needs different things from the interaction than you need, you know, that they don't want to cut right to the chase. You know, you said that feels so efficient, and I agree with you, but it doesn't feel good to them. And I think really processing that, as good as that feels to you and me, it doesn't feel great to them, that they need more to feel like you're interested in them as a person, and to feel like you care about them coming away from the interaction feeling good. And I think, and this is so key and so hard, I think you've got to see it as a truly legitimate preference. I think on our side of this divide, it's very easy to think like, well, our way is so logical. It makes so much sense. And I continue to think that, but I think you've got to see other people's preferences as just as legitimate. Or even if you can't see it that way, to at least recognize that you are going to get better results in your work if you can find a way to give them that. Because you probably care a lot about the results you get in your work. And maybe knowing that this is the path to doing that can make this feel more palatable. Does that resonate? Or are you thinking like, ugh, that sounds like such a pain?
Well, it does resonate. I wonder about how to deal with situations where you have to deliver bad news, or maybe propose something that's going to be uncomfortable, or describe something, a change perhaps, that is going to make someone unhappy. I feel like a lot of the feedback I've gotten about my tone has been in response to occasions where I've needed to say something that was going to be unpopular, or that might not have been as well received as I would have hoped. Something that would take some getting used to.
Yeah. Well, how are you doing it now? Are you kind of coming in and you're straight to the point and you're telling them, or like how, Is there an example you can give me of how you have approached something like that in the past?
Sure. So I went through a phase where I said, okay, I'm just going to talk about difficult things in writing via email. But there were problems with that. I mean, email itself is a troubled form of communication, and it just didn't always work. Sometimes you just need to have a conversation to work out details and also to like brainstorm and things like that. So I often, like with the coworker that we were talking about, will often schedule an appointment or go into the person's office and ask if I can schedule an appointment because I want to see if we could set up some time to talk about an issue. And, you know, like I name the issue and I talk about it just sort of generally. And it never feels like the right way to approach it, like whether I, you know, send him an Outlook invite or if I go to him in person and ask. I feel like by the time we get to the conversation, he's always primed to be mad or object or something like that. And I definitely think that it's not just about me, it's also about him. But it's like I've gotten to the point with this person where I can't say anything without him assuming that I'm going to be like super aggressive. And in other situations with other groups of colleagues, I try to introduce an issue in a neutral way and then ask for people's feedback. I try to be pretty engaged in conversation and not be dictatorial, although I've definitely been described as dictatorial. So I don't know. I should record myself or something and listen to how I do it because I'm not always sure.
That's really interesting, actually. You might try recording yourself, not necessarily like the real conversation, because then you get into like you're recording other people and you don't have their permission and it's weird. But I mean, you might try like role play it at home by yourself. And like, I mean, I know that that's hard to do in an authentic way, but it might be really interesting to hear it and play it back. I will say with this one guy, the more you say about it, the more I think that it might be that the relationship has just degraded to the point where it isn't about you at this point, that it's really about him. I mean, because if you're just saying, hey, can I get time on your calendar to talk about topic X? And he's like already bracing with defensiveness. I don't know that there is a lot that you can do about that. I mean, depending on the relationship itself, this could be terrible advice or this could be good advice, but with some people, it could make sense to just put that on the table to say like, hey, I know that we have had a difficult working history and I'm really sorry for my part in that. You know, I've thought about our history and I've realized that at times I have come across as more dictatorial than I should have or whatever it is that you want to take responsibility for there and say, but I'm really committed to changing that. And I'm getting the sense that whenever we meet, you're always bracing for it to go badly. And I wonder if there's some way for us to like press reset and try to start over where neither of us are bringing preconceived notions to the table. So, I mean, some people would really bristle at that and it would be a disaster, but for other people, it might work. Do you have any sense of if that's feasible with him?
Well, that definitely sounds like something that I would do and that I feel like I have done with other people in like other relationships once or twice in the past. And so I can imagine myself saying that, but I feel like super anxious thinking about having that conversation with this person. But I will say that I've talked with our boss about this and about like ways to reset the relationship. And she has suggested things like, you know, mediation with HR, or she is going to have our department do a strengths finder exercise sort of to facilitate people talking about their strengths and to try to value each other's different qualities in the workplace. And there might be an opening because, I mean, I've talked with our boss about this and I know that she has also talked with coworker about it. Although I like the message has always been that he is sad because of my behavior and, you know, not necessarily an agreement that there's more than one person causing a problem, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I have to say I don't love those solutions. I mean, I think mediation with HR in some ways makes it almost more adversarial, like it turns it into a bigger thing. And I don't know that that's necessary. I don't know. I mean, I'm a little disappointed in your boss here because really, I think from what you've said, and granted, I'm only hearing one side of it, but it sounds like your boss should go to him and say, hey, you've got to let down your guard a little bit. I need the two of you to work together, and that's on both of you. So I'm annoyed that she's not doing it. I do wonder, maybe there's a variation of what I was suggesting that is more workable. Like maybe the next time you do have to sit down with him, maybe you just say it at the start, like, hey, I feel like our relationship has gotten really weird and that whenever we sit down together, you're always bracing for something negative from me. And I'm so sorry it's gotten to that point. That's not the way that I want these interactions to go. And then you could just move in to whatever you want to talk about. So it doesn't have to be this like big back and forth between you two.
Like an event.
Yeah. He doesn't have to respond if he doesn't want to. You're just putting it out there.
I like that idea. I feel like I could do that.
So that might be worth trying, because then it's kind of transferring the onus over to him a little bit more. Because if you say that and then he still keeps acting like that, it's harder for him to argue that like he's just so sad because you've declared your intentions.
Right. Yeah.
So that might be worth trying. When we come back after the break, let's talk about how to think about the situation with him versus the situation more broadly. I also think, just again, I know I'm only hearing one side, but based on what you're saying, I wouldn't let the situation with him define your take on how you are doing with this kind of issue in general, because things sound like they've gotten really out of hand with him and that he's not handling it well. So I wouldn't look at that and think, oh, this is a reflection on how I do with interpersonal stuff in general, because I don't think that's the case. I mean, I definitely hear you that this has come up in other contexts. It's not that you're just hearing it in regard to him, but the thing with him sounds pretty extreme.
Yeah, I think you're right.
but getting back to what you're asking, like how do you deliver bad news or something that someone isn't going to want to hear? I think you are right to get it away from email because people can't hear tone in email and there's no back and forth and it's just not as warm. I don't think you always have to schedule a meeting about it ahead of time. Like sometimes that can sort of put people on edge and make them nervous and they're wondering what it is. And now it's this big deal because you've had to schedule time to meet about it. Sometimes it can just be like, hey, do you have 10 minutes for me to update you on something? I think a big piece of it is making sure that the other person really feels heard. You know, it might not change the ultimate message that you're delivering, but people feel a lot better when they feel like it's not just one-sided information delivery, that you are checking in with them and you want to make sure that you hear their perspective. And even if their perspective doesn't change anything, that you're really listening. And that's not a magic bullet, certainly. But if you're not doing that, then that can be whatever the opposite of a magic bullet is, like a poison pill, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think too, like recognizing, you know, hey, I know this isn't what you were hoping to hear, or I think this is probably going to be pretty frustrating and I'm apologizing in advance about that, or, you know, injecting some acknowledgement that you do understand where they might be coming from and this isn't like a lovely thing for them to be hearing.
Yes. I think that's something that I could work on consciously incorporating.
Sometimes too, like, I don't know, I always tell people this about emails when people worry that their emails are coming across as too brusque and they think they have to really fluff them up and that it's going to be like an extra 5 minutes for writing every email.
Yeah.
And I always tell people it's like an extra 10 seconds. It's like tacking on like one sentence and that's it. And I think with this sometimes it can seem like it's got to be a bigger solution than it really needs to be. I mean, sometimes it really can just be about listening a little bit more or about one or two sentences of acknowledging what their perspective might be. Or even about saying like at the end of it, like if you are delivering news that they're not going to be thrilled about, you know, saying, if they seem pretty unhappy, saying, you know, I might be misinterpreting this, but I'm getting the sense that you're not thrilled about this. Do you want to tell me, like, is there anything that you want to tell me that we should be taking into account? And then if they do, and it doesn't change anything, saying, you know, I don't think it's going to change anything right now, but I want to make sure that that we're factoring in what you're saying. So like, let's, I mean, this is hard to do without a specific example in mind, but something like, you know, can we try this for the next month or two and then revisit it and see if what you're worried about is a problem at that point? Just something to, so that they don't feel like you're just this dictator coming in from above, like swooping in, doing things they don't like, and then disappearing.
Yeah.
And that doesn't bind you to, in a month or two, changing anything. It just binds you to checking in with them.
That sounds like something I could do and should do.
You know, one other thing I would say is that if you are dealing with someone who you haven't been especially impressed by in the past, or who you think might have messed something up, sometimes it's really easy for people to read that in the person talking to them. And so I think, to whatever extent you can, try to reset your thinking before you go into those conversations if you are dealing with people like that, and really give the person the benefit of the doubt. Like, assume that you might not have the full picture, because it can change the way you're coming across. It can just really change your tone, and it can give them a more positive feeling if they can sense that you're not coming in with your mind already made up in some negative way about them.
Sure. Yeah.
Are there pieces of this that we haven't quite tackled? I feel like maybe I'm not getting quite at the thing that's bugging you.
Well, I think that your assessment that the issue with my coworker is really extreme is right on. I totally agree. I think that I have this tone of voice that I can't really hear. And I am starting to think that it's inhibiting positive relationships just in general, or that it creates this sort of like intimidating persona that people find it hard to relate to. So I really appreciate the suggestions that you've made here about, I don't know, just like little things to say to sort of ingratiate myself into conversations, especially with people who may not really know me, or who may be turned off by, I guess, my brusqueness or all businessiness.
Yeah, sometimes those small little changes and things you say can make a really big difference without requiring you to fundamentally change who you are, which I suspect might be part of the core of what is bothering you here.
I really do have the sense that this is a longstanding personality trait, and I don't know how to solve that problem, because I just don't know how to erase it. And I'm not sure it can be erased. The issue with my coworker, who seems to be super turned off by my tone, has made me think a lot about whether I'm even in the right profession, or whether I should even be in a role where I talk to people a lot. I guess I'm second guessing myself, and I'm kind of losing confidence.
You know, I think before you start going there in your head and really questioning those fundamental things about whether you're in the right job or not, I would try some of the things we've talked about on this call that seem small, but actually can have a really big impact. Because it might be that you're right, that these are just fundamental personality traits. They're not going to change without like an exhausting focus on them 24/7, which is no way to lead your life to feel like you're constantly walking on eggshells. But it might be that even though those things about you don't change, that by adding in some additional behaviors that you're not doing now, that it sort of broadens the picture that people have about you. And so if you are coming across as sort of dictatorial in a meeting, it's going to be against this backdrop of people seeing that you've gone out of your way to be warm and kind and friendly, and to check in with them and to care about their point of view. And if you have that backdrop in place, then I suspect that the pieces that are kind of rubbing people the wrong way will be less bothersome. And so it might be not you have to change who you are, and more just add in these additional things.
Yeah. Well, I think I can do that.
That, I think, is way easier than changing the way that you've been speaking your entire life. I mean, I would still take a look at the other piece of it. I mean, I think the idea about just like role-playing conversations out loud in your living room and recording them and listening to it back might be really enlightening. Who knows? And I think too, like if you have a friend or a coworker who you've worked really closely with, who you trust to be, I mean, you're going to have to find someone who's direct and blunt also. And I mean, it might be worth asking people if they will give you like really brutally honest feedback and say, like, I feel like my suspicion is that this is what I'm doing, but I can't put my finger on exactly how it's coming out that way. Like, have you noticed things that you can share with me that would be helpful? And if you can find a blunt friend, you might hear like, oh, it's actually these two things that you do that are really annoying. or who knows? Mm-hmm. But that might be a fruitful conversation to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, do you feel like you have steps for where to go from here? I know we haven't solved the whole thing, but hopefully you have an idea of some things you can try that might help.
Yes, I do.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for answering my question. This was fun.
Good. Thanks for listening to the Ask a Manager podcast. If you'd like to come on the show to talk through your own question, email it to podcast@askamanager.org, or you can leave a recording of your question by calling 855-426-WORK. That's 855-426-9675. You can get more Ask a Manager at askamanager.org or in my book, Ask a Manager, How to Navigate Clueless Colleagues, Lunch-Stealing Bosses, and the Rest of Your Life at Work. The Ask a Manager show is a partnership with How Stuff Works and is produced by Paul Deccan. If you liked what you heard, please take a minute to subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. I'm Allison Green, and I'll be back next week with another one of your questions.